Maybe this next guest will have the answer for that. Jason Walker is the Dalai Lama of PetrieHoops.com. He runs the place. You can go on there to check out Hawks coverage as we get ready for the NBA draft. Jason is not 100%, but unlike Mike Hampton, he is making his scheduled start. How you doing?
Goodness.
How are you?
It's quite the reference.
Yeah, don't you like that?
I'll go with J.D. Drew, too. I'll do a J.D. Drew.
Well, Hampton lives down there by you, or at least he did at one point. I think they deported him to Arizona. So
that's right. We sent him with half the Grapefruit League team.
Yeah. Yes, you did. Well, I hope you're feeling better. I appreciate you doing the show, considering you're sicker than a dog, and have a nice summer cold, which is always a lot of fun. What's the deal with that Lionel Hollins story? What do we not know about that?
Deal is that, they had some high-profile management changes over there, including bringing in Atlanta's own John Hollinger as part of kind of an advanced metrics team. They're changing their approach to how they build rosters. And Lionel Hollins, at the time that they made the Rudy Gay trade last year, came out against the team. Now, you know that's a no-no. But he came out against the trade, didn't understand what it was all about. And actually, trading Rudy Gay was exactly what this new management team was all about. The team did fine without Rudy Gay, not once, but 2 years, they did great without Rudy Gay and kind of proved the point. So the fact that Lionel Hollins was kind of on the other side of what this management team wants to do, they just can't trust him to implement the vision that they have for the team. He's a tremendous coach, and I don't think anybody in Memphis would disagree with that. But if you can't trust, if you're not on the same page with your coach's not on the same page with you, it's not good for either of you to stay where you are. Now, Hollins wanted to because he has a tremendously talented team.
Yeah.
So it made sense why he wanted to stay. But to me, it made a lot of sense why that management team had to let him go. And he's going to be successful somewhere else. No doubt about it. He's a solid coach. He was a great player at Portland. And he's brought that to the coaching bench as well. He's a fantastic coach. He'll land very quickly with one of these teams that still have an opening.
All right, but Jay, I understand the management wanting someone that's on their same page, but how much credit should he get for a team that won 56 games and made it to the conference finals?
Yeah, I mean, you got to manage talent. I mean, the NBA is all about managing talent. And, Hollins and his staff did a great job of that. So, yeah, there's all kinds of credit to the coach. We've seen what bad coaches do to good teams. And obviously Lionel Hollins was not that.
I mean, he developed Mike Conley, for crying out loud, didn't he?
Well, I mean, yeah, how much credit do you give for player development? How much, how much do you blame a coach when a player doesn't develop? I don't know about that. But, yeah, Mike Conley certainly has come away. There's a very cohesive defensive and offensive philosophy there, especially on defense, where Marc Gasol anchors a tremendous defense there in Memphis. And, you got to give him credit for managing a personality like Zach Randolph, who certainly came to that team as kind of a last resort afterthought and turned himself into an all-star.
Jason Walker, our guest, PetrieHoops.com is the website. All right, Hawks have a new assistant coach.
Yeah.
Wouldn't necessarily be big news ordinarily, but this is a guy who was mentioned as a potential head coach for the Hawks. Quinn Snyder, the former head coach at Missouri in the college ranks and a longtime NBA assistant with the roots back to that Larry Brown tree, which is also, of course, where Budenholzer and, for that matter, I guess to some extent, Danny Ferry is from as well. So your thoughts on Quinn Snyder's hiring?
Well, he's a solid assistant coach. He's got experience at the pro level, and he's got experience overseas, which is very Spursy, and just continues this trend of the Hawks building an organization with a single frame of mind, everybody on the same page. And Snyder, he's had experience, with the Sixers and the Lakers. He's also, he was a head coach at, he's a head coach out of Missouri, and he's got experience at Duke and at the D League level. This guy is, he's a good coach. He's from that coaching line, and it's Danny Ferry building his own Spurs East type thing with his own signature, of course, but it made a lot of sense to see Quinn come in under Coach Bud.
All right, we're learning more about some of the players that are coming in for the draft workouts of the Hawks, even though they're not letting anyone really know about it. We're learning it through Twitter and through college coaches congratulating players on being asked to go to Atlanta to be looked at by the Hawks front office. It is definitely far from the day where you and I were allowed to watch the draft workouts back about a decade ago, my friend. So name some of the people that you've heard that have come in, and then let's kind of move toward this draft talk here, because I know you've been working a lot about that since the Hawks have picked 17 and 18 in the first round.
Yeah, you know, the Hawks have a lot of options, first of all. Whenever you have two first-round picks, you know, you have some flexibility, and you could use those two to trade up into the draft. You know, you could use them to increase your talent now. You could kind of hedge your bets and take a project with one pick and a rotation player with another. Or, you know, now in this international leagues, you can actually take a pick, use one of your first-round picks on a player that's not going to play overseas, and immediately get that cap room back. So if you're a team like the Hawks, who are trying to get, a certain free agent or two to come in, and you think you need a couple million dollars, well, you could use a draft pick on a trade. You know, in baseball, you call them a draft and follow. You could use that, and immediately, if you know they're not going to play in the NBA that year, tell the NBA, and that guy, and then you get that cap room back. So a lot of flexibility in there, and you can also use it in a trade if you were trying to pick up. You could use one of those picks in a trade if you're trying to pick up maybe a future first rounder, or a current player. So they have a lot of options. They're looking at big men. Going to be some good big men available in the middle of the draft. The Hawks are picking 17 and 18. There's some good wings available after they traded Joe Johnson and Marvin Williams. You know, they got by last year. Good offensive people in those roles, but not really strong defensively. They've got some guys that they're looking at that can shoot and defend. And, you know, there's also a couple point guards that may or may not make it down to the Hawks this year.
All right, Jason Walker is our guest. We're talking about the NBA draft. I was looking at some of the mock drafts. Yep. NBADraft.net, one of our favorite websites, and we have no idea who does it. We just like to look at it no matter what. Shabazz Muhammad from UCLA and Mason Plumlee from Duke. Those are the type of players that we're going to see as far as in some of these mock drafts. From a talent standpoint, Jay, is this not a bad year to have two picks there in the middle of the first round? Are they going to have a chance to get some talented players?
It's an okay draft. What you're going to get, you're not going to get a lot of guys that you think, oh, yeah, that guy's going to come in and start. And unfortunately, that's what you really want when you've got a first-round pick. You're hoping a guy can come in and start. You look at the Hawks last year. They selected John Jenkins, who turned out to be an excellent rotational piece. But I don't think you see him starting and playing 36 minutes every night for 82 games yet. That's kind of how this draft is looking. You got big men. You mentioned Shabazz Muhammad. He's a fantastic small forward. Don't think he'll be available to the Hawks. I think he's a kind of a guy where his draft value sagged a little bit. But through the workouts, he's got such explosion. He's a scorer. Those guys just tend to get taken off the board because he's got a more well-rounded game than a lot of the guys that you're looking at. Some of the centers that you looked at, you mentioned Mason Plumlee from Duke. Not a high upside guy. You're not going to look at this guy and say, you know, he's going to be an all-star one day. But what he is an excellent rotational player. Mm-hmm. One of the rare big men this year that plays above the rim. And that's, you know, when you see a guy like Kelly Olynyk from Gonzaga or Gorgui Dieng from Louisville, Steven Adams from Pittsburgh, these guys play a little below the rim. They don't finish strong above the rim. Mason Plumlee does. He's got great hands. He's an excellent rebounder on both ends, and he runs the floor. And it's a nice compliment, actually, to having Al Horford. And since Mason is a solid seven-footer, you could see a guy like Mason Plumlee plugging into the rotation and shifting out of the four at times on the floor and having a nice high-low game with a guy like Plumlee who can catch and finish. That's one of the things that they're looking at in terms of the biggest. One of the guys that gets mentioned a lot, Mason Plumlee. Mm-hmm. But Steven Adams, again, from Pittsburgh, Kelly Olynyk from Gonzaga, Gorgui Dieng from Louisville, Rudy Gobert, who's a 7'2 Frenchman, Bill, with a 7'9 wingspan.
Wow.
He's ridiculously long. Mm. He looks like a praying mantis when he takes a jump shot. but he's a guy that I think also will come off the board before the Hawks pick, but he's kind of a Tyson Chandler-like defensive player. Those are the bigs that the Hawks could be looking at come draft night.
Jason Walker, our guest from PetrieHoops.com, the website. So how tough is this going to be for Danny Ferry to have the draft before he knows what the core of his team will be like? You mentioned the word rotational players. I mean,
yeah.
they're going to have only three players coming back under contract anyway. So this is going to be a new roster.
Yep.
So in a way, Jay, does that make him go less for need, since he doesn't really know what his need's going to be until he gets his free agent situation worked out, and more right. about simply, I mean, is this kind of going to be a who's the best player on my board type draft?
Absolutely. If he keeps both picks, and what I mean by that is if he doesn't go with someone like Sergei Kasarev or Giannis Antetokounmpo from Greece, if he doesn't go with one of these guys where he's going to draft and follow, he's going to take the best guy on the board. It might be one of those guys, too. Best guy that he has on his board, because he's got an open roster right now. He's got Al Horford. You know, he's got John Jenkins and Lou Williams, and he'll probably have Jeff Teague back, and Mike Scott will probably be one of the non-guaranteed guys that comes back. But other than that, you're probably taking the best guy on the board, and regardless of position, because you really need everything at that point. The only thing you probably don't need is another stretch four, which would cross off someone like Olenek.
Right.
Some of the wings, I mean, we're wide open on the wings. So Jamal Franklin, for instance, he's an excellent defender, or Kasarev is a great shooter. He might play over here this year. Those are the types of guys that could come in and give you some good rotation minutes, no matter who you have on the roster.
Well, that's the thing. The small forward position, I mean, look, we know who they're going to go after in free agency. We do not know who they may target in trades. However,
right.
If you just go by the free agent targets, we know they're going after a one. We know they're going after a five. So fill in the blanks. You've got Horford at three. I mean, excuse me, at four.
Right.
You've got Jenkins, to be a tweener back and forth if you need him to be, if you
right.
do get Chris Paul. You've got Lou Williams coming back, who can obviously be kind of a swing guy there. But, I mean, if he has a little man crush on a small forward,
yeah.
are you going to be surprised if he trades up to get that type player?
Well, that's the thing. As you look at the board and how guys are coming off, what the Hawks can trade, they're not going to be able to trade up into the top five and get one of those players up there. So you're looking at pick 10, pick 11, and honestly, I don't see Danny Ferry or any GM kind of looking at the 10th or 11th pick. Would you trade up to get Shabazz Muhammad or Rudy Gobert or, even a guy like Steven Adams if you think he's going to go up there? I don't think so. I think you hang back and you take two guys that can help your team, because it's probably not that big of a jump talent-wise to where they could probably trade up to at this point.
Mm, interesting. Jason Walker is our guest. We're talking about the NBA draft, which is, I guess, 2 weeks, 16 days away, right? Two weeks from this
right.
coming Thursday, so we're not too far away from it. And obviously it's a weird situation because of the timetable and the schedule at play. It's, as I said, the free agent
yep.
stuff doesn't start until July 1st, July 15th, obviously. And so we don't know. And you really wonder what he's looking at, what he's looking for, and the type. That's why, we wish we had, I think, the list of the players who are coming in. I think we'd be have a better clue of what he's kind of targeting here. But nonetheless, it'll be interesting to watch it kind of play out here. What are your latest rumors? What have you heard here recently about Howard and Paul, Dwight Howard and Chris Paul, the two free agents? Any scoopage out there recently?
No, not really. And I think since, the ticket department got kind of the Hawks in hot water
yeah.
with tampering, and they did get a fine for that, they probably hands off a little bit and kind of trying to keep things quiet. But that's really not going to start picking up until we get closer to July 1st, when teams are able to talk to these free agents and get an understanding for, what Dwight Howard's thinking. Is he, is he Dallas, Houston, staying in Los Angeles, coming home to Atlanta? And Chris Paul, is he really all that upset with Los Angeles to leave Blake Griffin in that situation out there and come to Atlanta or any other team, for that matter, go to Dallas or play or anything? We'll know more as we get closer to that. But one thing about the draft is concerned, no matter what you think that roster might look like, if you take a big like Gorgui Dieng or Mason Plumlee, these are rotation guys that'll plug in behind whoever you sign.
Yeah.
So you can't have enough talented big men that can rebound and play above the rim. Those guys are hard to find in the NBA, and those are the types of guys you need with depth in the front court.
Even though Dwight Howard is no longer in Orlando, I kind of wondered about this. You live in Orlando. Do they still talk about him, just considering the fact that he's going to be here in the news when he signs his contract, whether it's with L.A. or Atlanta or Houston or whomever? Do they still talk about him down there?
Yeah, a little bit. Kind of a chuckling, you know, here the Lakers are going through what we went through in Orlando type thing. And, you know, I think that when the news about the Stan Van Gundy and the situation there and how Van Gundy kind of liked, you know, Howard, and I think people just see him as a young man who was kind of confused, didn't know what he wanted, hard to make a decision, and was easily influenced. So I don't think there's as much hard feelings as there is here about Shaq. Shaq is a four-letter word in Orlando.
Yeah, that's not very good at all. All right, so we've had two games to look at the Spurs and to kind of see Mike Budenholzer. Have you come across any type of thought process here on what we're going to expect to see from him when he becomes head coach based on what you've seen for the first two games of this series with the Miami Heat and the Spurs?
Yeah, I don't know if you see that. You saw they prepared very well for game one, and that's what we would expect from a team like the Spurs, that they're going to come with their preparation. Heat made adjustments. Of course, you know, anytime you can turn the ball over only four times in a game, you give yourself a pretty good chance to win. You know, the Heat are tough. That's why I picked them. You know, when LeBron James, like he was in the second half of game two, is on the top of his game, you know, the Heat are going to be almost impossible to beat. Don't bet against the best player on the floor. But, I mean, the Spurs were well prepared. They played great basketball, and that game one showed that even if you don't have as much talent, even if you don't have the best player on the floor, that if you play great basketball, and that's what they did in game one, unbelievably great basketball, you can still win. You can still beat the better team.
So what happens tonight?
You know, I think Miami wins. I think Miami goes ahead and wins game three. I could see it wrapping up in Miami. So, you know, I can see the Spurs obviously winning one of these games here. But I just think ultimately, you know, Miami's going to win out. I mean, they haven't played their best basketball, and they're still 1-1. And the Spurs kind of played a great game in game one and have a split. That's what you want. But I can see the Heat getting home court back tonight.
There you have it. Jason Walker, PetrieHoops.com. And if you're a Hawks fan, you need to go to that website, PetrieHoops.com. He's got complete coverage of what to expect from the NBA draft, including players that the Hawks might have on the board at that particular time at picks 17 and 18 if they keep those two picks. And, of course, he'll continue to cover all the scoopage when it comes to the free agent talk that'll be out there in the next couple of weeks. Jay, thank you. We appreciate your time, especially considering how you feel, and we'll talk with you again next Tuesday.
You got it.